talk about God's Better Business Bureau. Talk about business. But I thought, being Labor Day, I'd show you a couple things about labor, a few quotes. The worst part about working for the Department of Unemployment is when you get fired, you still have to show up at work the next day. Not a fun thing. Teamwork is important. It helps to put the blame on someone else. These are all quotes from the workplace, by the way. My job is secure because nobody else wants it. Isn't it scary that what doctors do, they call practice? sorry, doc. Middle age is when work is a lot less fun and fun is a lot more work. And I don't know anybody who's gotten there yet, but my resume is just a list of things I hope you never ask me to do. Do not be irreplaceable. If you cannot be replaced, you cannot be promoted. So be careful about that. A clean desk is a sign of a cluttered desk drawer. Now, I had to get up real early this morning and clean my office because you're coming. And you're not allowed to look in my drawers, okay? Because all the clutter that was there is out of sight, almost. The first 5 days after the weekend are the hardest. Not to brag, but my antics at work resulted in several items being added to the employee manual. I'm not trying to boss you around. Just do what I say. You know, a few months ago, I gave my wife a little plaque that said, "I'm not bossy, I'm the boss." I gave it to her as a gift. She gave it back. Anyhow, want to talk about labor, want to talk about employment and business. So when we talk about God and business, there are a couple of fundamentals that we need to understand. And the first one is that God himself is in business. He is a worker. He doesn't loaf and sit around. He's busy. He has business. In fact, comes the scripture and says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." It goes on to say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God says, "I have made the earth. I created man upon it." You are one of his works. "Even my hands have I stretched out the heavens, and all the hosts have I commanded." Because God is doing stuff. He's doing business. And you will find that he has a lot of business practices that are really important. But it's first of all important to understand that God is, in fact, in business. And then secondly, it ought to be understood that all of God's enterprises are of the grandest schemes you have ever heard of in your life. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handy work. Works. He's a worker. He is in business, and his business is grand. His enterprises are of the most superlative nature. Let me show you some of them. This is the business of God. This is one of his enterprises. Here is another. His enterprises are immense. He's got stuff going on we have never dreamed of. It defies vocabulary and poetic skill to detail the kind of businesses that God's running. O Lord, thou art very great. Oh. And in fact, a little closer to home, we get to see some of his business. And I love this. This is God's world. He's got an agenda for the earth, for the world, for all the animals, the plant life, and the people who dwell here. It's one of his enterprises. God is in business. And his enterprises are of the grandest nature. Well, not only that, not only is God in business, and not only are his enterprises of the greatest, God has some business principles, ideas of doing business, concepts, philosophies, business practices, and they are of quite superlative nature. In fact, there's some that are way above us, for he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The way I think about doing business is not the way most people think about doing business. And neither are my ways. My ways of business are different than yours. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and you just saw some of those heights moments ago, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God is in business. His enterprises are infinite in number and infinite in dimension. And he runs all of this based on some core ideas of doing business. And this is what he wants. He wants us to see He wants us to see those business principles, know them, and operate by those business principles. Now, there are two dimensions to this, two kinds of businesses that each of you will be involved in. Now, number one, and this is amazing to me, that he has invited us to join his businesses. That's why the scripture says that we are workers together with God. Whoa. So, if we're going to join into his enterprises, and by the way, most of the enterprises of God that we're involved with are local, that is, they're planetary, but they have eternal results and consequences. And someday, based on our practice of his business principles, because he has redeemed us from what I'm going to tell you about in a moment, and brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, that his future intention for you is to keep you involved in his eternal business enterprises. Heaven is simply the headquarters. Yeah. Not a place to sit around, do nothing, play in the harp. but a place where we are commissioned, because we are workers together with God, and he has a, and anybody, if we work by his business principles, we're going to join his work. Now, the second application is your own business while you're here on the planet. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a moment. But we also have to know that Satan has deviant business plans. In fact, Satan is in business. And there are numerous accounts of Scripture that describe and detail his doings. Here's one: Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David. Let me tell you something. That's what he will do with you. He will provoke you. Satan is in business. Satan comes immediately. This is one of the things he does. Anybody who starts to follow the business principles of God that are found in the Word of God, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart, because he wants you to function by his deviant business plans, not the business principles of God. Now, you also have to know that Satan's business is small, in fact, minuscule by comparison, and is very limited. So, here is the scripture that lets us know this. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. It's all the same person. It's the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, all the same person. Cast out of where? Cast out of that big picture, cast out of participation of the grand enterprises of God in the universe. And he was cast out, and he's this one that deceives the world. That's what he does. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So they lost access to the great enterprises of God because they were unwilling to follow the business principles of God. Now, not only is Satan's business localized, that is, just on this planet. And how do we know that? How do we know that it doesn't have influence in other systems of God's enterprise? Because Jesus gave us the clue, and he said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Everything up there is, the enterprises are doing fine. So he was cast to the earth. And then this is, when I say he's limited, he's got a short time to do his business, because it's going to be over for him. Isn't that good news? The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. His business is local, and it has time termination set to it. And he will be ultimately destroyed and terminated forever and ever. However, in the meantime, Satan is trying to get people to operate by his deviant business principles. This one who deceives the world, he is in a mission to, quote, get back at God. So since you are loved so much by God, then you become the object of his attack. And he wants to move you from that which is holy and just and right and true, from the very business principles of God by which he runs all of his enterprises. He wants you moved off of those. And so that's why we need to be sober, be vigilant, because he's your adversary, the devil. And like a roaring lion which walketh about, he seeks whom he may devour. He's trying to mess with you. Not only is he going to mess with you, but in the application on this labor celebration, he wants to mess with how you do business. He sets snares, traps. And the hope is that mankind will recover from the snares of the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Satan wants you to operate without realizing the deviant nature of his business practices. So that's why it's really important, at least we get started on the subject matter, to understand what are God's better business principles. What are they better with? Now, you can probably tell, if you know the scriptures, that this message could last 8 hours a day for 5 days. Do you know how much work it is to get this down to 25 minutes? But let's get going. He wants you to take your business seriously. We're talking now about your employment. We're talking about your business. This is a big part of your life. He wants you to be serious about it. And so this is what he says. He says, I don't want you to be too slothful in how you do business. Don't let business just sort of happen. Don't be sloppy, slothful about it. Take it seriously. And watch this now. And when you do, he wants you to be fervent in spirit when it comes to your business. And he wants you in your business to be serving the Lord. And we're back now to operating by the business principles of his great enterprises. So the first thing is we need to take business seriously. The second thing is this. That business must be secondary to relationships. Business must be secondary to relationships. Now, in order to show this, I want to give you a heads up about what that means. It means we must put God before any business. We must put God before all business. We cannot put business before God. At the moment, watch this now. The moment that we put business ahead of God, we have moved to the deviant principles of Satan. Because God put such a premium on relationship that all business must be secondary. Now, I'll show you some of this in detail. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the core. This is the core. This is the number one commandment. This is the big one. God first. I got to tell you, how grateful I am to the man, Kathy, who started, runs Chick-fil-A. Contrary to the deviant business principles of the world, this man said, God first. They closed on Sundays. Do you think that has been a detriment, or do you think there is a God-sent blessing for that? I challenge you to drive by a Chick-fil-A, a Burger King, a McDonald's, or whatever else, and just check the lineup. Been there lately? You see, it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he has no sorrows with it. How can he outproduce the others by cutting one day of the week out of his work? The answer is because he chose a set of principles that God's enterprise is run by. And that is never put business before relationship, especially the relationship with God. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all the work, do it, get it all over with. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord. By the way, this word Sabbath means an intermission. Whatever you did 6, you stopped doing it for 1. In it thou shalt not do any work, not your son, not your daughter, not your manservant, not your maidservant, not your ox, not your donkey, not any of your cattle, the stranger within your gates, servants, men, or maidservants, they may rest as well as you. I have to tell you that I have great fear about those who are willing to sacrifice relationship and God's standing operating procedures for the sake of business. Not because the business is deviant in and of itself, but because it's an indicator of a spiritual condition. So God's interested in the relationship more than business. By the way, it's one of the death penalty sins in the Old Testament. So we don't have that today, but let me tell you what happens. If you do an analysis of the 7 death penalty sins of the Old Testament, we don't in civil life have the death penalty for it. But anyone who does any of the 7, quote, death penalty sins of the Old Testament is having to deal with a self-destructive behavior of some sort or another. Because something isn't a death penalty sin just because somebody says so. It's because embedded in that conduct or behavior is a destructive force. What does a man profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? And so when God says, I don't want business ahead of relationship, he includes family. He includes your marriage. Who cares you got a lot of money and your wife is gone and your kids aren't there for you ever, other than legally required. It's because the deviant principles allow business to override the essential relationships in life. Number one, God. Number two, your spouse. Husbands, love your wives. How? Like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ahead of your job. Ahead of your vocation. Now, it affects children as well, by the way. So what are the consequences? What are the consequences if we put business before relationships? What happens? Whether it be the vertical relationship with God or the horizontal with our spouses and our children. The first thing that happens is one damages his relationship with God. The lordship of Christ is diminished, if not destroyed, because iniquity has taken over. It does damage to the marriage. Not only that, it does damage to the children. God's operating business principles do not allow a man, or a woman for that matter, to destroy relationships in order to create perceived gain. But there's another damage that happens. Do you understand how the deviant principles of Satan in business are seed beds of destruction? That's how do you destroy families? By getting dad not to be there, or mom not to be there. How do you get dad and mom not to be there? Well, you offer something that looks legitimate, like employment, work. So deceitful, right? But here's the real kicker. Children will repeat this iniquity. And so they will enter into work patterns and business relationships that destroy their own relationship with God and destroy marriage, children. And that's why God insists at the most fundamental level that we take seriously our business, and secondly, that business must never trump relationships, vertical or horizontal. Well, a third principle now is that we need to find work that fits us. Find a business that fits you. And of course, this plays into what we've been teaching lately about your gifting. Prepare thy work. It's talking about your work, your life work, your vocation. And make it fit for thyself in the field. Do what fits you. Find business that fits you. Now, this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another. Now watch this. To his own hurt. In other words, the work must fit you. And here's the problem. Generally, a company will, if you do a good job, will promote you up into administration, and now you rule over other people, but that may not fit you. But in Satan's scheme of things, promotion, financial increase, becomes a criteria instead of does it fit you anymore? Because I tell you this, that when you move from skill at an occupation to the administration of other people who are doing that same skill, now you've entered a whole different realm. And the preacher here says that he's seen when ruling over another man hurts yourself. So it needs to fit. Now, it's important to grasp the necessity of employment and work. This verse shocked me when I read it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In other words, you've heard the old adage, haven't you, that idle hands are the devil's tools? You heard that? And look what happened to Adam and Eve. They didn't have to work, or at least somehow they got doing the wrong thing in the mix. So from now on, you're going to have to work. Now, this is God's design. So when you look at something that just has to be done and necessitates work, that necessity is a godsend to help you realize how important your work is. So now we have to pull the weeds and plant the seed and keep the birds away and fertilize. Cursed is the ground for your sake. So we're living in a world that has, whether it is in this agrarian, an agricultural context or industrial, where need is great, it is because God wants us to all to be occupationally involved to some extent so that we learn his business principles. Now, that's why one needs to have a mental attitude towards work. And so we have in the story of Nehemiah, they're building a wall. This wall, broken down wall of Jerusalem, was a mammoth task. So we built a wall, and the wall was joined together under the half thereof for the, now watch this, the people had a mind to work. Gotta get stuff done. This takes a mental attitude. But remember, never let that mind to work overtake your relationship with God, nor your relationship with the family. Develop a mind to work. Now, one should study business. Your own business. Let's just take it for granted. This verse says a couple of things. Number one, study to be quiet. You know, what you're about to do has to be done in the quiet. Study to be quiet. And then study to do your own business. Study it. Don't take it for granted. Don't be satisfied with a skill set. Get involved in development. Study to be quiet. Study your own business. And study to work with your own hands. What am I supposed to be doing, and how can I do it the best? Study your business. Don't take it for granted. The reason for this is so you can walk honestly towards those that are outside and that you will lack nothing. So last week we gave you the notes on Bible principles of upward mobility in your job. So I hope you pay attention to those. Now, there are three things that God wants us to learn from the ant. We are instructed by God to check out the ant. And this is a marvelous thing, because most people don't know that the animal world, they aren't just decorations around us. They're there for a reason. Behold, the beasts of the field, they shall teach you, and the fowls of the air shall instruct you. Yeah. So we're told to check the ant out. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider the ways of the ant. And now here are the three principles from the ant. And number one is to be wise. Think through how you do your work. Consider ways. Be wise. The ants have it figured out. Second thing to learn is you don't need someone else to motivate you or bossing you, because you should be proactive, because these ants, they don't have somebody there yakking at them, telling them what to do. They don't have overseers. They don't have rulers. They are self-initiated, self-involved, proactive. So the second thing we learn from the ant is we shouldn't need others to prod us. And the third thing we learn from the ant is to prepare for the future. Now, I know that there are those who would cite the scripture that says, take no thought for tomorrow what you shall eat, drink, or put on. But notice what those include. Those include what you eat, what you drink, and put on. That's what it is. Don't take that scripture to mean something bigger than what it says it means. God wants us to learn to plan for the future. Provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So when winter comes, no problem. Got it under control. Learn these three principles from the ant. By the way, there are other things you learn from the ant. You learn to get along with others. Do you ever see them? They have a route going to and from whatever they're trying to move from one place. It's amazing, 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 amazing. Learn the ant. Now, diligence. So not this is really a core of God's business principles, is to be diligent at it. Because if you see a man who's diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me. I mean, he's going to, it's diligence, so it's going to pay off. Not at the sacrifice of relationship, right? Got that? Diligent simply means conscientious in doing duties. That's what it means to be diligent. To be diligent means to be meticulous, careful, rigorous, thorough. Because this is what happens. In God's operating principles, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But those who are hasty, they tend only to not have enough. Diligence, really important. Now, here's a big one in God's realm. Honesty and integrity. Now, over on the Satan side, deviant business principles, there's latitude for dishonesty. I have to tell you that I learned this from my wife. When I met her those decades ago, I discovered she dotted her I's and crossed her T's. She would not overcharge a dollar. She would not manipulate the records. She would not fudge on any business aspect. But in Satan, the wicked works a deceitful work. But watch this now, because here's one of God's great success business principles. But to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. It's going, you know, it's the old adage, honesty is the best policy. That's a good one. And so always work with honesty and integrity. And so God is against two sets of weights and divers measures. This has nothing to do with scuba diving. This has to do with a weigh scale. So you weigh out a pound of meat with a weight that says a pound on it. But what they do is that it says a pound on it, but it's only 8 ounces or 10 ounces. And so it's a way of cheating in ancient times. And these are an abomination to the Lord. No room at all for the lack of honesty or integrity. Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord and a false balance. Not good, not good, not good. Woe unto him that builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrongdoing. Watch this now. Woe to him. Woe. That uses his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. Another thing I learned from Mrs. You do the work, you get paid. No cheating, no withholding. Usually the same day. Always work with honesty and integrity. Develop a zero tolerance for debt. This is the non-deviant way. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven will give rain to your land in its season, and it will bless all the work of thy hand. Now, here's why the blessing is so important. You will be able to lend unto all kinds of people, but you will never have to borrow. Now, I wish we had more time on this subject, but it is a critical one. Because in our present cultural condition, this is like from another planet. Well, it is from another planet called heaven, right? And so, owe no man anything but love. Don't owe anybody. God wants you totally free from any bondage. And his business principles, unlike the deviant principles of the enemy. Develop a biblical investment plan. Now, investments are really important. In fact, in this parable, which I didn't want to go into the whole detail, so I just put in the last verse. Remember the talents, one guy buried the talents, the other guy had two, and it turned into five, and five into ten, etc. And the Lord comes along and says, this is what you ought to have done. You've ought to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I would have at least got the usury for the money. I would have at least got the interest. So we are instructed to invest as part of our business plan. Here's a scripture about it. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you'll find it after many days. Now watch this. Make sure when you invest that you invest, watch this, a portion of your investment to seven different kinds of investment. Okay? And then watch this. Give a portion to seven, and then also to eight. I think that makes 15. Now, here is why this is really important in investment. Because you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. Recently, I have an investment that's not looking good. Without the diversity, 7 and 8, one would be, if all your eggs were in the one basket, you could be destroyed. You could be wiped out. So God says the way to invest is to divide it up by 7 and another group by 8 and spread it out, because you don't know what evil's going to come. Develop a biblical investment plan. Establish a biblical budget accounting. Now let me revert for a moment back to these great enterprises of God. I showed you the pictures of his galaxies and innumerable. Do you know that he calls them all by name? All the hosts of heaven, they all have names. They all are in an accounting system. Heaven is great at accounting. In fact, there's a book up there on each of us, and records are being kept. Now, God wants us to operate in a business plan like he does, and he wants it to be so accurate, functional, and foolproof that he wants you to have a way of keeping track of accounting. So here's the scripture. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Now, back in these days of scripture, your assets were basically sheep and cattle. Be diligent to know the state they're in. Are they all there? Are they all well? Look after your stuff. Make sure you have a system of doing that. Now, here's why. Now, I want you to connect these verses. Let me just back up here a moment. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Be diligent to know your financial condition. Look well to your financial condition. Now, why? Watch the next verse. Because riches are not forever. That's why God wants you to make an account. Now watch you now. Now this is interesting. Doth the crown endure to every generation? Now that's referring to inheritance getting passed on. Because there may not be an inheritance coming on that you can count on. But that's the riches are not forever, and the crown may not. All the stuff might not get handed down to every generation. So, now, I didn't know whether to do this or not, but I thought I should give it a chance. I want to give you a concept of budget. Budget by percentage. You know, here's the problem. Most people save what's left over after they spend, instead of spend what's left over after they save. So obviously not much ever gets saved because it all gets spent. So how do you set up a budget? I want to give you a hypothetical, okay? The first thing we know is the first fruits, right off the top, is you tithe 10% to the local body of Christ, to God. And this is all found in detail in Malachi chapter 3. Now, this next one is going to probably surprise you, but you should also put aside 10% for vacation. Did you know that was in the Bible? So, where do we get this from? In the Old Testament, there were three tithes, 10, 10, and 10. The first tithe is what we call the tithe today. The second tithe is not something you gave to the temple or the tabernacle or to God. You put it aside. and you saved it for an annual visit to Jerusalem. And it usually lasted two weeks. And so every year you had set aside a tenth of your income to go to Jerusalem for the big celebration. So I don't know if you're going to go to Jerusalem or not. It might take more than 10%. I don't know. But you know, vacation times. Let's talk about that for just a minute. I'll meddle with you a bit. I'm guessing you've heard about the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. It's 500,000 square feet, funded by Hobby Lobby. Amazing. Put your 10% aside. Go to the Museum of the Bible. Or the Jerusalem in Orlando, Jerusalem. Or we went to one called the Fields. And man, it was amazing. I think it's in Northwest Georgia. Field of the Woods, right. Fields of the Wood, right. The Ark is coming, is available, an actual replica of the Ark. And I'm not sure if that's in Tennessee or where it is. Kentucky. Sebring, Kentucky. Wow. Why not turn your vacation into a great fun thing, but a spiritual thing too? 10% of vacation. Now the third tithe, you didn't give it every year, you only gave it once every 3 years. Okay? And so we are taught in the Old Testament to tithe 10% of our income but it was only due once every 3 years. So that should be actually 3 1/3% that you give to help the poor. Every one of us. Don't give it to somebody else to do it for you. Do it directly. Invest 10%. Use 66.5% for your life expenses. And so, obviously, you need to break this down into housing and food and insurance and whatever. I just give you this as an idea. To set up some kind of an accounting system, and there are so much accounting software. This is really easy to do in these days, but get an accounting system. If you haven't, you absolutely should do it this week. You need to have a will, or preferably a living trust. And here's why. This is about stewardship. This is about taking care of business God's way. So here's how the preacher put it in Ecclesiastes. Look at this. I hated all my labor. I hated the labor which I've taken. Look at all the riches I have produced, but I hate it. Watch it. I hate it because, watch this now, because I'm going to have to leave it to a man that's going to come after me. I'm going to leave it to somebody or somebodies. Huh? Watch this now. And who knows whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? That's why, in setting up your living trust, you get to disperse the monies after you leave here and go to heaven, and divide them up to those who are wise enough to receive them, and not leave them to a fool. Apparently, they didn't have this facility, this legal instrument in that day. So he said, I hate my work because everything I produce, I'm going to leave it to somebody, and who knows whether this guy is going to be a wise man or a fool. And he, whether a wise man or fool, shall have rule over all of the assets, all of the labor when I have labored, and whereon I showed myself wise under the sun. So this is a kind of a, this is a part of the stewardship. This is a part of doing business God's way. And I don't know if you've gotten it, but if you go back sometime, we taught on the Bible principles of leaving an inheritance, because the scriptures are clear on the details of who should get how much and why they should get it. Establish will or trust. And then finally, do risk management. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to hope. Don't leave it up to God. He wants you to function in these business principles. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord's maker of them all. That's true. Watch this now. But a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. He sees where something financially is growing the wrong way, and he prevents it. But the simple pass on and are punished. Now, as you can probably tell from this, this is the tip of the iceberg. But I thought on this Labor Day that it would be good to at least spend some moments together talking about God's way of doing business and avoiding the deviant business principles of the enemy. So my hope is that this has been helpful to you. If it has, you can say amen. Amen. Six of you got help.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/see. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.